to several verses. Romans chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and the book of Philemon. Romans chapter 1, we like to read verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Ephesians chapter 1, I'd like to read the 16th verse. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'd like to read verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. And in the book of Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Each one of those verses are the writing of Paul. And in each one of those verses, you find the phrase, in my prayers. We want to take the thought of the message this morning from that phrase, and that will be our subject, in my prayers. So the theme of each of these verses is prayer. The Bible has much to say about prayer. It is presented as a matter of great importance. It's presented as a matter of great consequence. And it is even presented as a matter of priority. Throughout the Bible, there are, both Old and New Testament, there are exhortations to pray. Throughout the Bible, there is encouragement to pray. The character of God encourages us to pray. The character in need of man is an encouragement to pray. The fact that Jesus Christ is an advocate waiting to present the prayers of God's people to the Father is an encouragement to pray. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit to help the child of God in prayer. Romans chapter 8, we do not know what to pray for many times, and the Spirit of God leads us in our prayers. And then, of course, there is the invitation to approach God in prayer, which serves as a great encouragement to pray. Throughout the Bible, there is instruction in prayer. And in fact, light of that there is instruction to pray tells me that we need to learn how to pray. Tells me that there's a right way to pray and there's a wrong way to pray. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, after this manner, therefore pray ye. And he's teaching them how to pray. He's teaching us how to pray. Throughout the Bible, there are examples of men and women who prayed. Throughout the Bible, there are warnings concerning prayer. Jesus warned against vain repetition in prayer. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. He warned about hypocrisy in prayer. Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. We have the warning of prayerlessness That is the failure to pray. James 4 verse 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. That's a rebuke to not praying. And then there's prayerless praying, or praying that really isn't prayer. James 4 verse 3, he says, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, as you do not pray correctly. So these exhortations, these encouragements, this instruction, these examples and warnings manifest the importance of prayer. Prayer in the Bible is presented as a wonderful privilege. It is access to the Creator of all things. What a privilege. It is access to omnipotence. What a privilege. What an opportunity. It is access to omniscience. It is access to the very throne of grace. What a privilege it is to pray. Prayer is presented as an opportunity. We are told to pray at all times. We are told to pray for all things. And we are told to pray for everybody. And we have the opportunity to pray at all times. You know, the schools outlaw prayer, but that can't keep you from praying. You don't have to have a announced time to pray. They can outlaw prayer all they want to. You can't stop prayer. So at all times we have an opportunity to pray. We have in all things, no matter what happens, we need to look at whatever happens, I have an opportunity to pray here. Everybody we come across, everybody we know about, gives us an opportunity to pray. You don't have to know their names to pray. You don't even have to know what's going on in their life to pray. For all those who say, well, I just need to know so I can pray. No, you don't. Because God knows. It is advisable to pray. Jesus said men ought always to pray. So it is advisable to pray. It is a part of worship. In fact, every aspect of our duties toward God, we should be in prayer. Prayer in the Bible is presented as a need. It is absolutely essential to spiritual health. Individuals need to pray. Families need to pray. Families need to pray together. Churches need to pray. Prayer in the Bible is a great and valuable resource. Is presented as a great and valuable resource for the child of God. It is in prayer that we find grace to help in time of need. It is in prayer that we find strength and enablement. It is in prayer that there is joy, there is peace, there is assurance. In prayer there is guidance. In prayer there is instruction. In prayer there is wisdom. It is in prayer that we can find relief. It is in prayer that we find comfort. Prayer is a way to escape the temptations of Satan. It is through prayer that we become a blessing to others, whether they realize it or not. If you pray for somebody, you're a blessing to them. They may never know it, but you're a blessing to them. The Bible also presents prayer as a labor. Paul said to Epaphras, concerning Epaphras, that he labored fervently in prayers. Labored fervently. That is, it's work. And again, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So it requires strength and stamina to pray. In this message, we want to consider the subject of prayer by considering these words of Paul in my prayers. In my prayers. And in considering those words, we must examine our own prayer life. Because if your prayer life is not right, you're not right. I don't care what appearances may be, if your prayer life is not right, you're not right. You're not right with God. First thing we want to notice in these words, in my prayers, Paul had a prayer life. First thing that was said of Paul, then it was Saul, after his conversion, we find in Acts 9, verse 11, behold, he prayeth. Remember, the Lord was sending Ananias down to Saul. And Ananias, this is how you'll know him. Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. Lord took notice that Paul was praying. I believe that the Lord still takes notice when his people pray. When his people truly pray. Behold, he prayeth. And throughout the saved life of Paul, that could be said. Oftentimes you could look upon Paul and you would say, behold, he prayeth. Paul was a man of prayer. He encouraged people to pray throughout his epistles. He wrote to Timothy that prayer should be made for all men. He wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. Be in prayer for all, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, make your request be made known unto God. He wrote to the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. That is, pray and never stop praying. Keep on praying. He wrote to the church of Colossae. He said, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. You've begun to pray, now keep praying. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. Ephesians 6, verse 18, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplications. Throughout the epistles, you find Paul often requesting prayer for himself. He was a man of prayer. He was a man who believed in the need of praying. From our text verses, you'll also notice in each one of those four verses, not only do we have that phrase, in my prayers, but in Romans 1 and verse 9, he said, without ceasing. Ephesians 1 verse 16, he said, cease not. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, night and day. And then in Philemon 4, always, in my prayers. Prayer was not something that Paul just did occasionally. It was something that he was always doing. Though Paul had a very busy life, he was a man of prayer. Though Paul had a very eventful life, he was a man of prayer. Paul was a man who labored everywhere he went, and he prayed. He traveled by foot. He traveled by sea. And he prayed. Frequently he was beaten, and he prayed. Oftentimes he was imprisoned, and he prayed. Three times he was shipwrecked and he prayed. Paul was a man of prayer. In the midst of everything, Paul was characterized by this fact: he prayed. He prayed. In my prayers, if you and I say that, you are in my prayers, what does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean you think of the individual maybe once a week? Or does it mean you are in my prayers every day, all the time? Because I pray every day. What does it mean? In my prayers. Well, when Paul said those words, of course, prayer was a very central and major part of his life. It played a significant role in his life. It was very important to him. Which leads us to the question: to what extent is our life characterized by prayer? What role does prayer have in our life? Is it a central part of our life? Is it a major part of our life? Ask yourself, when do I pray? When do I pray? That is, what moves me to pray? What motivates me to pray? That speaks volumes if you answer that question honestly. Prayer is to be such a significant part of our life that it is to be natural for us to pray. Just as it is natural for you and I to eat and to get up in the morning, it ought to be natural for you and I to pray. Is it natural? Is it normal for you to pray? Is it natural for you to pray in all seasons? Doesn't matter what the season is, we're to pray. In seasons of joy, is it natural for you to pray in seasons of joy? Is it natural for you to pray in seasons of sorrow? It ought to be just as natural in one season as is the other. It ought to be natural for us to pray when everything's going right. And it ought to be natural for us to pray when things aren't going right. And let me say that if it is not natural for you to pray in times of joy, but you cry out to God in times of need, God is a fire escape to you. God is offended by such praying. So I ask, is it natural for you to pray in seasons of joy? Is it natural for us to pray in seasons of sorrow? Is it natural for us to pray in times of victory as it is in times of defeat? It ought to be natural to pray in the midst of blessing and in the midst of trials, in the midst of afflictions, we ought to pray. In days of health, it ought to be natural to pray. In days of sickness, it ought to be natural to pray. In times of strength, in times of weakness, it ought to be natural for you and I to pray. So again, we ask, to what extent is our life marked by prayer? How natural is it for you and I to pray? Paul had a prayer life. So what does that mean? When we say that Paul had a prayer life, what does that mean? Well, to answer that, we must realize what it is to really and truly pray. To pray is to take our proper place before God. You don't pray until you do that. You may utter words, but you don't pray until you take your proper place before God. True praying is man's realization and the plea of his weakness, his ignorance, and his need. In all true praying, self-will is laid to the side. In all true praying, there is the taking the place of surrender and recognizing the sovereignty and the greatness and the authority and the power and the ownership of God. So that Paul was a man of prayer means that his overall life was characterized by these things that we've just mentioned. His life was characterized by him taking his proper place before God. So again, we must make personal examination. To what extent is our life characterized by you and I just taking our proper place before God and pray? To pray is to have our heart drawn to God. You haven't prayed unless your heart's drawn to God. Again, Paul was a man of prayer, which means that he lived his life with his heart being constantly drawn to the Lord. Paul would see things. He would hear things. He would feel and experience things. And his heart was drawn to God in prayer. You and I see things, we hear things, we feel things, we experience things. Is our heart drawn to God in prayer? That's what it means. To pray means that our heart is drawn to God. Oh, that in every phase and every aspect and every area and every pursuit of our life, that our hearts would be drawn to God in prayer. In every circumstance and every situation, that our hearts would be drawn to prayer. That our hearts would be drawn to God. Again, it says much about our character to honestly answer the question, when? What does it take to draw our hearts to God? Does it take a personal calamity? Is that what it takes? That says much about your character. Our hearts ought to always be being drawn to God. Our lives consist of responsibilities. Our lives consist of decisions. Our life consists of choices and family and careers and a variety of places. And our hearts need to be drawn to God. To what extent is our life marked and characterized by our hearts being drawn to God in prayer? To pray is to earnestly seek God. Prayer is not instructing God. Prayer is seeking God. Prayer is not giving God a list of demands. Prayer is seeking the Lord. So to say that Paul was a man of prayer means that his life was characterized by the fact that he sought the Lord. That is, God was his focus. He had a desire for God. He had a yearning and a passion for God. This is necessary if we're going to pray. In all true praying, there is a desire, a passion, a longing for His presence, for His glory, for His power, for His help, for His intervention, for His manifestation. And the manifestation of His will. Paul was a man of prayer. which means that his life was characterized by this yearning and passion for God. Again, we must make personal examination. To what extent is our life characterized and marked by earnestly seeking God in prayer? How often do we earnestly seek God in prayer? To what extent do we seek by prayer God's presence, God's glory, God's power, God's intervention, the manifestation of His will? Also, to pray is a recognition of need. Paul was a man of prayer, which means that he lived his life with a realization of a constant and personal need of God. It is like the psalmist when he said, "I am poor and needy." Paul realized that. Paul realized that in every circumstance, in every situation, he realized, "I am poor and I am needy." And you realize that, you will pray. This is what it meant for Paul to be a man of prayer. To pray is to call upon God for something specific. It's to pour out our heart to God. Prayer is not simply saying some words. It's a pouring out of the heart to God. And Paul's life was marked by prayer. Our life ought to be marked by the fact that we pour out our heart to God. Paul lived his life calling upon God. Paul lived his life pouring out his heart to God. This was his life. Again, we must make personal examination. How often do we find ourselves calling out to God? I'm not talking about some form prayer. I'm talking about just calling out to God. How often do we call out to God? How often do we pour out our heart to the Lord? What is it that moves us to do so? Is it just self things? Does it have to be a tragedy or a near tragedy before we pour out our heart to God? It says much about us as to what it takes and what compels us to cry out to God and pour out our heart to Him. Also, to pray is to maintain contact with heaven. In all true prayer, you are in contact with God. You are in contact with heaven. It is a miserable life to know about God and to know that you're not in contact with Him. That's misery. At least the lost man doesn't even know about God. That's why many of God's people are more miserable than lost man, because the things they know, they believe it, it's written in the book, but it's not real in their lives. And that's misery, my friend. That's misery. We read all about prayer. But if you and I honestly know that we're not in contact with God, that's misery. Prayer is to maintain contact with God. His communion with God. It shouldn't be just when we have what we foresee as a problem that we call to God in prayer. You can't do that, really. You can't really pray in that way. Because fellowship has been broken. It's like you haven't seen someone in 35 years and you decide to call them on the phone. You don't just pick up where you left off. It's the same way with God. But that's the way we treat God many times. Haven't talked to him in days, and all of a sudden I need something, I'll call him. Well, what would you do if the only time someone called you is when they needed something? What would you think of that person? You know good and well what you'd think. And after a while, you'd get fed up with it. Yet we do that to God all the time. Have no interest in talking with him when things are going right. As soon as there's a problem, well, we want to tell them all about it. Many pastors know the feeling. Many times people don't have two words to say to them, but there's a problem. Oh, well, we got to tell them. To pray is to be in contact with the Sovereign One. What a blessing. To get up in the morning and to be in contact with the Sovereign One. To be in contact with the Shepherd of the sheep. To be in contact with the Father. To be in contact with the Father. Paul was a man of prayer. He lived his life in contact with heaven. There was a personal relationship with God. Again, personal examination. How much of our life is spent in contact with God? What is it that causes us to seek contact with God? You ever talk to God just because you're happy? Lord, I'm so blessed. Just talk to God when everything just seems to be going great. Really, you ought to talk to him more then than you do in difficult times, because believe it or not, you're in more danger when you think everything's going just great. To pray is to believe. In all true praying, there is faith. Prayer is an approach to God, and God cannot be approached without faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That Paul was a man of prayer means that he was a man of faith. Faith will cause your heart to be drawn to God. You can measure your faith by the degree that your heart is drawn to God. Faith allows us to approach God with much assurance. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldly. Faith allows us to approach God with much assurance. I don't believe that you can go days and days without talking with God, and then all of a sudden you feel a need and you approach God. You do not do so with assurance. I don't believe that. Assurance comes by continually going to God in prayer. For many, prayer is a last resort. They've tried everything else, so let's try prayer. Well, first thing, if that's been your attitude, the first thing you need to spend your time praying in is repenting. And then you can pray. Prayer is confidence in God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. It is to be without wavering, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering, James 1, verse 6. Paul was a man of prayer. That is, there was a personal belief, a personal assurance and confidence of God's authority, of God's love, of God's teaching, of God's sustenance, of God's care, His instruction, His correction, His consolation, His power. Paul had confidence in these things. He wrote in Ephesians 3 and verse 20, "Now to Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." He believed. And he was a man of prayer. Again, to what extent is our life characterized by faith? A faith that will lead us always to pray. When Jesus said in Luke 18, in verse 1, man ought always to pray. Think about that word, ought. It's a word of advice. You tell somebody, well, you ought to do this. That's a word of advice. So Christ is giving us a word of advice. We ought to always pray. But does not that word ought also imply a choice on our part? You ought to do this, which means you might not, you may do this. Prayer is a choice. We choose to pray, and sadly, we choose not to pray. Which leads us to a question again. Do we choose to pray? When we see something, when we hear something, when we feel something, when we experience something, do we choose to pray? Or do we choose not to pray? How often does the Lord look upon us and say, "Behold, He prayeth. Behold, He prayeth." How often can God look upon us? The truth is, it ought to be every day. It ought to be several times a day that the Lord looks down and says, "Behold, He prayeth. Behold, He's murmuring. Behold, He's complaining." And on we could go. But behold, He prayeth. What a blessing. We read in Daniel 9, verse 3, concerning Daniel. He says, "I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer." How often can that be said of us? I set my face unto the Lord God to seek. Not just say a few words, but to seek. By prayer. When can that be said of us? Or what is it that motivates us to set our face unto the Lord in prayer? Daniel 9, verse 4, the next verse, Daniel said, "I prayed unto the Lord my God." I set my face unto the Lord to seek Him. That is, I set my face in the direction of God with the purpose of seeking Him. And then he says, "And I prayed." That's how we seek the Lord. "And I prayed." How often can that be said of us? "And I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed." How often is that so of you and I? Look at your life. "In my prayers," Paul said, "in my prayers." You know, the world says all the time, I mean, newscaster, I mean, all kinds of people say, "They are in our prayers, they are in our thoughts and prayers." That means very little to me. I mean, I appreciate the thought. But when a lost man says, "You're in my prayers," It doesn't mean a whole lot to me. It really doesn't. To be honest, when many saved people say that, it means nothing to me. You're in my prayers. What does that mean? My prayers. What do those words mean in connection with our life? What role do those words have in our life? To what extent is our life characterized by those words, in my prayers? Do you have anything to pray about? Is there anyone here that doesn't have anything to pray about? And I'm not just talking about self. I'm not just talking about things that involve yourself. We have much to pray about. And here we are again, we've said it before, living very trying and difficult times, needs everywhere, and it seems to me that people pray less. All the time. And I could base that on many things. We need to ask ourselves, am I a person of prayer? Am I a person of prayer? Is my life characterized and marked by this fact, and I prayed, and I prayed. Oh, that our hearts would be drawn to pray. We've said it many times, as you're driving your car, you see things all the time, and you ought to pray. You run across people, it could be a cashier, it could be many things. Lord, help them. And I prayed. And I prayed. That needs to be our response. That needs to be the natural response of you and I. And I prayed. Again, it all gets back to the heart. You can't go from here today and say, well, I see what you're saying, I'm going to do better. No, you won't. I don't mean to discourage you. I'm just trying to be honest with you. No, you won't. You have to get your heart right. You have to have a heart that can pray. And that's why it's important every day that we keep our heart in a condition to pray. And one of the best ways to keep our heart in a condition to pray is to pray, is to always be in contact with the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in a verse of